And you might want to open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 13. And in our exercise of late, looking at the mysteries, and this last one that we're looking at are the mysteries found in chapter 13. And they're giving us an overview of what happens from the cross all the way to the tribulation and the Lord's return. So, and God tells us, we know from Romans 1, that God makes himself known to every human being born on planet Earth. That's just what he does. In the middle of India, the middle of Pakistan, wherever it is, God makes himself known. Not everyone hears the Bible. Not everyone has a Bible. Not everyone ever, people don't even see a Bible, even know about the Bible. But they do know about God. Now, having said that, thus we read in chapter 13, God gives us the four different types of ground where the plants go to grow. To grow plants, like in a garden. And so we've shared together in chapter 13, and the first ground, we went and did that in I'll read it. Went in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which has received seed by the wayside. So in the normal, we're talking about people that hear the word, have some connection to the word. And people could be in the hearing distance of a church, of a group, of an evangelist or whatever, television, whatever. And they hear, they can hear. But their life is not connected. So what they're hearing falls down, it hits the ground like a highway and never gets anywhere. And that falls down to the ground. And thus, it is all gone because the seed can't grow. And therefore, the devil, to say why the seed doesn't grow, because the devil in this world of darkness, in the realm of darkness, he doesn't want it to grow. So the seed all dies. The track ends up in the wastebasket. The word, something else, disappears. It just all disappears, all gone. Now, that's the general world. But in the world, there are people that hear, and thus verse 20, he that receiveth the seed. Now this, remember now, we're looking at hearing, verse 19. In verse 20, the person that receives the seed, they hear and receive it. So it isn't falling to the ground, they receive it. Now, let me keep going. He that receiveth the seed unto the stony ground, stony places, the word stony is the word stone and rock. And if seed falls on rock, it isn't going to go anywhere. But, in other words, it falls in the heart, rock, stony heart, falls in that rock. But on rocks out there, there's dirt, there's other things, depending on what's going on top of the rock. And a seed can find a little bit of life the seed is trying to live. The seed wants to have life. So, and it seeks to do whatever on top of the rock. But it has no root. It can't go anywhere because it has no root. It can't go. The roots just go, depending on how much is on top of the rock, how much the seed develops. And therefore, verse 20, he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and on in the process. He receives the word, and anon is an old word, immediately, the word anon, I should say, immediately after, straightway, soon, quick, that's a little word, soon, quick. So they'll read it that way. In verse 20, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, very quickly, speedily, with joy receiveth it. He receives the word. It's there. The heart hears it. It's glad to have it. And that's what it does. So now putting that together, the seed is there. This is the kind of heart that's rock. But it receives, it hears. It receives the seed and hears it. Hears and receives. And in the process, it's going to go and find a little bit of life, joy. It's exciting. Now, just to see that a little bit, over to chapter 10. In chapter 10, remember, picking up, please, remember the disciples go out two by two, and in the process, as they go to house, and you'll notice in chapter 10, verse number 13, if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it, but if it be not worthy, let your peace return to it. Verse 14, and whosoever shall not receive you, receive and hear, remember in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 20, receive and hear, and whosoever shall not receive and nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they have it, people, the city, as the disciples went two by two, they found a house, and the people were delighted to have them come in as announcing the Lord was going to come through the city, and there they were ahead of time, as it were. And so that's a joyous, but it doesn't last too long, apparently, because, at least for some, we don't have any idea the difference. How many believed after all of these people go through the town? How many that welcomed them into the house stayed and hung on to that, what they want, the message of our Christ, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, over to Luke to do it again. And in Luke, in chapter 23. And you will know our Lord near his crucifixion. And there he's on trial. And Herod, I'll read it, verse 7, 23:7. And as soon as he knew that he belonged under Herod, Herod's jurisdiction as a Jew, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. In other words, boy, if I could just meet Jesus. Because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. He was all excited. He received the seed. With joy, he got it. Boy, I'm excited. But then the people got involved. I might as well read the little section so you see it. Then, verse 9. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. So the Lord never said a thing. He asked him all kinds of things, and the Lord wouldn't answer him. Verse 10. And the chief priest and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. Now, so God, there's a different way. Here's the Herod, and Herod, joy. He was excited, but then the Lord wouldn't encourage him at all. And his Pharisees and them said, you got to kill him. So therefore, joy, the rock, they hear the word, receive it with joy. Do it again, over to Luke, right next door. Luke chapter 24. And you will note, chapter 24, and you remember after his resurrection, picking up my K, verse 24:39. Behold my hands and my feet, that is, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet, believed not for joy. They just could for joy and wondered and said unto them, have you here any meat? So they're all excited for joy, but it just didn't connect. They couldn't connect the pieces. They didn't understand. He really, really was who he was, resurrected as he said he was in their presence. They just didn't connect it. But it was, boy, wow. But we didn't understand. Over, if I can, please. Again, over to John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, and you'll remember, they wanted to go, chapter 6, and in verse 14, 6 and 14, what did they want to do after he made the feeding the 15,000? Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus, therefore, perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And he disappeared. They wanted to take him. They wanted to take advantage of his presence. But there, they weren't in the right place in their heart. Chapter 6, if I can. And chapter 6, sliding over, if I can, into verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this about who he was and what he would do on Calvary's cross, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? In other words, they were hearing the word, but this time it wasn't connecting, and sliding down to verse 66, as you know, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So, in all the human resources, they're all there, and God's, in other words, as you keep reading. So the gospel, the good news, back over to chapter 13 of Matthew. In chapter 13 of Matthew, remember, verse 20, he that receiveth the seed into stony places, a stone, rock, the same as he that heareth the word, and then on, very quickly, with joy, receiveth it. It was a wonderful thing, a good news. Boy, that's nice, wonderful. Like people do it where they go to a sport game and the team wins. They're joyous. But it doesn't last long. It isn't meant to last long. It lasts a little bit. And you can have a good meal, and it's all done. You have it, it's all gone. Everything's all done. You're happy, but never last all. That's from a human standpoint. Now, so having said that, here's the joy, God's word, that which makes for pleasure, that which makes joy, which causes one to have pleasure, and thus to walk in the light as he is in the light. And therefore, in verse, with joy, they receive. And remember, we shared with joy. You can't have the joy as you do it. We'll pick it up in a bit just to remind us. The joy comes in the word. They're joyous. They're trying to hang on. Use my little package again. Again. In the process. Now, and then in what we're doing, looking, and here's the process. And we're glad. We're glad for the seed. Boy, I'm happy. I'm happy. It can't last. It can't last because the event, whatever it is that makes you happy about something, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. But when God gives us his joy, it isn't something we have. We don't have it. It's when you receive Christ and let the seed grow. That's when you have the joy. And the joy isn't in you. It's in Christ. And that's why it's permanent and sure and unquestionable. You have his joy. And you have to relate to him the seed. You have to relate in order to enjoy the joy. But if you're saved, that joy is with you. The joy of Jesus Christ is yours 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it never goes away because it's in Christ. So if you're looking to think, well, I got to do something to find the joy, make the... No, you don't. You just have to appreciate and exercise your relationship to God to practice it. Otherwise, the seed, like we do each time we bring it out, it's still in the package. The seed, I got the Bible. Here's the Bible again. Still in the package. Not much benefit, but I'm learning. Now, hang on. So in the light of that, God's word, in God's wonderful way, picking up, please, in verse 21. And in verse 21, hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, and by and by is not too long, within reason, time, he is offended, he stumbles. All right, we'll go back to this one. God, here we got the root, yet hath not root in himself. Now you got to have the ground, the plant looks to fall, it's to express it, to express its roots. And if it's on top of a rock, it isn't going to go very far or last very long. The seed needs good ground. It wants good ground so that it can develop and grow. And that's what God's looking for. And it's going to last a little bit, temporary, dureth for a little bit of time. That's all. But it can't last because there's no way for the root to find the ground. The ground is never the root. The root is never the ground. The root, God. God designed us for himself. The ground, the dust of the ground. God designed us that he could find himself. It is always God, and it's always vessels of dust that we are. And that's what we are. And he's looking for the ground. He designed us especially for himself, to find his home in the heart. That's unique. We'll do it again and again till it locks in God. That's awesome. Now, and he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. It lasts a little bit, and then it's all gone. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so when tribulation, when tribulation or persecution arise, then because so what got to do that a little bit. When that arises, because of the word, not because of him, but because of the, on top of the rock, he's hearing and enjoying the word and saying, isn't it wonderful? But the word isn't finding a home in his heart. There is no root down there in his heart. So therefore, for the world, he lives in a world, the same world that we all do, and the devil, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, is his kingdom of darkness, a death, and the darkness and death do not appreciate and do not tolerate any plant, any life, any light. It doesn't allow it, doesn't want it. Oh, and so therefore, so what are we looking at? So here's the word, and so the world is being in the world, and you're going to find what? You're going to find the world is going to go and react to it. So when tribulation arises and become because of the word, then God's going to go and allow what? The tribulation is going to be there, and the tribulation is going to go and make for trouble. So therefore, what's the tribulation going to do? We're in the world. I hear, it's my little heart, rocky heart, and I get it. I got your Bible track. I got the New Testament. I got it. Well, he gave it to me in college, and when I went, going to school, make believe, like they do. They get it, and take it into my room. I got it. Boy, I'm happy. I had to read it before I go to bed. But my roommate, and then the people around me, are not on the same page. They're not on the same page. They're in the world system, and there is no. That's the stony ground, hard ground, and here's the world. So the neighbors, my roommate, everybody. They aren't encouraging me. They aren't encouraging me. And I face, they're telling me even to forget it, not to do it. They aren't in the same, I'm trying to be whatever, and no one's agreeing with me. So I look out there, and they aren't going with me. They aren't on the same page. No, they aren't. So therefore, God said, listen, that's what's going to happen. And you're going to have the root, but you don't let it get roots. But if it has roots, that will never bother them. But with no root, what people say and think and do will affect us. Very much so. And we'll do it because we're getting caught, because we can't answer it. And it has no root in our heart. It's still just in the package, as it were. So, now in order to look at that, tribulation, pressure, squeezing, affliction, all of those words, pressure, squeeze, to narrow, make something narrow, squeezing, pressure, oppression, tribulation, affliction. Is going to come. All right, let's look at that. Open, if I can, John and chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, picking up if I may, and you'll note, in John chapter 16, our Lord ends, as you remember, as you come to the end of the upper room discourse, verse 33, chapter 16, 33, as he come to the end. Our Lord said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. But in the world you shall have tribulation. There's your word, pressure, squeezing. That's what you're going to have. You're in the world. You receive the seed, let it have root, because that's the only way you can hang in there. Otherwise, the world is going to come along. You just live in it. It isn't going to go away. It's there day and night. But, verse 33, the shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be encouraged. I have overcome the world in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So I'm going to tell you, let the seed find roots. And when it finds roots, it goes down into the heart. And then when the wind blows and the storm comes, it doesn't make a difference, because the reality of the seed, of the verse, of the truth that is joy, that's made, that you got joy, it's real. And it's yours. And you know it. So there's no one's going to take it away from you. No one can take it away, because God is locking it in with much assurance. So therefore, God said tribulation. Now, is that going to be consistent? Yep. Over to Acts chapter 14. All kinds of ways, just a few to remind us that you cannot be in the world without tribulation. You cannot be without tribulation. You have to be. Now hang on, it'll come out all right, I hope. Over chapter 14, picking up, please, if I may, sliding over to verse 21. 14:21, Book of Acts. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, trusting God's word, letting the seed grow, and along with letting it grow, at the same time your garden's growing, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It isn't going to be easy. If you're really going to do it, you're going to trust God, and you're going to have what? Let the seed go, grow, and develop in the heart in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, I can do it different ways, over to 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, and in chapter 1. And you'll note, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1. And you'll note, if I may, chapter 1, verse 6. And I'll read verse 5, since it's so good. For our gospel came, our good news came. You received it with joy. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, much affliction, and much tribulation. That's what you have, Matthew 13:21. Receive the word, and you're going to have it. And you're going to have tribulation. They didn't realize. I thought I could just have something without having to get involved. No, you have to be involved. Have to be involved. You can't enjoy your relationship to God. I can't enjoy my relationship to God apart from having it alive and well on planet Earth. It has to be working. I have to have it functioning to work it. Now, so therefore, while you're in Thessalonians, sliding over to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, you'll pick up, please, verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereto. So Paul said, we're going through what we have to go through. You have to go through what you're going through, sliding down to verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all your affliction and distress by your faith. In other words, you were working through everything properly in the right way. You were having roots and letting the roots produce fruits. And that's what you were doing. And you did it. It wasn't just on sitting on top of the rock in the head, in the heart. It was finding roots. You want to let the plant develop and let the roots go. And so you have to trust God by faith to let it work. And you have to say, God, I'm going to receive. I want to receive. I don't want to be a rock. I don't want to be a rock. I want it to come in. So therefore, to the man in verse 20 and 21, he's offended. He's offended by it. And he's offended. He's bothered. He's been put in a trap. Trigger, think of a trap with a trigger, and the bird goes in it, or the animal goes in it, and hits the trigger and drops, net drops down, or drops in a net on top of him, or whatever. That's to trap him. He's trapped. He can't. And therefore, he doesn't go anywhere. Because tribulation and persecution, what people think and feel, dominate. And the conditions of my everything. So what? I don't have any more seed. I don't have any more. Nope, none at all. So therefore, the tribulation. They were saved in Thessalonica in and having tribulation. So when they got saved walking in the middle of people that opposed them. And they went right through anyway and believed. They had to be saved. And they need to be saved. And they wanted to be saved. And they were saved. That's how you get saved. They wanted to follow through. So in God's wonderful kindness. So having said that little bit, now I want you to, the seed. We read verse 13, 20, 21, of the hard ground, and they're offended. It's an offense to them. But we don't want that. So that's not very encouraging. All right, let's make it work. What happens if you let the seed work? What happens if you let the roots go down? So the joy is God's joy, and it ends up down in here. And you let it get down in there. And when God gets down in there, man, there's no one else. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. And God's going to take us through it. Now, how's it going to show it? Show me, God, how it works. Over, if you would. So over to Romans. Romans in chapter 5. And in Romans in chapter 5, picking up by me, and you know, it's a very famous recipe, a famous remedy. Chapter 5, for growth. Verse 2, by whom also we have, chapter 5, Romans, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Through much tribulation, you have to, that's the only way. If you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved in the midst of it. You're not only going to be internally and externally, you're going to have to face a lot of stuff because you're living in a dying body in a condemned world. That's where you live in. So now, verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations and also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load, and bearing up under the load produces experience. Verse 4, bearing up under you learn, you get educated And you're pretty sure about stuff. You learn the job. You learn how to do something. And patience, experience. And experience because you're learning and you're real confident. You put the key in the ignition and it starts because you're very confident about it. And therefore, in verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, and experience is going to produce hope. And the hope, what's that going to do? You're going to have a wonderful expectancy of going ahead. So it doesn't matter what your roommate says or anyone says. It doesn't matter what anyone says. They can't change it. They didn't write it. They aren't God. You'd have to tell God to change it. You can't tell. No one's going to tell God he can't change. He can't change it. He isn't going to change it. So that's what God did. Just think of what you're trying to do on Sunday morning. Being sure. God says, listen, how much do you want? I'm telling you what I did and who I am, I really am. So why don't you just give me credit for who I am? No matter what, God. Now, hang on. Now, so verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And God's wonderful, wonderful grace in his wonderful, wonderful way helps us in every way. So therefore, what do we know? God's going to help us. And we just read in verse 5, the hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, the love of God giving us assuring, God just is going to hang in there. Over to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, picking up, please. In Romans in chapter 8, picking up if I can. 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God, love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. Nothing. Nothing. The Spirit of God is going to shed abroad his law, his assurance. The seed is getting roots, letting roots, and the seed is dominates. The seed dominates. It's drawing out of that heart and giving to the heart at the same time. You wouldn't even giving. You know, in Ephesians, do it. Hold your finger right here. Over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, sliding if I can, verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That's us, the church, the body of truth, believers. Which is his body? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. All in all. God provides his wonderful person for the body, and the body provides the wonderful fullness for Christ, who's the head, so that Christ is able to go. And as the head, he takes his body, the church, and he fills it. So therefore, the affliction has to come. Who are you going to, God, are you going to help us? I am. There's no affliction. John, now what are you going to do? John 16:33. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But in me, you don't. I am inside. I don't have any problem with tribulation. I don't have any problem with anybody, anywhere, anyhow. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with the devil. I don't have a problem. Now, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, John 16:33. But in me, you don't. Christ in you, though. Hope of glory. I told you, I said, don't you understand? You're a winner, but you're losing. No, you're not. No, the most they can do is kill you and be of good cheer. That's all. Now, hang on. Now, so therefore, we are killed all the day long, counted as sheep for the slaughter. Over if I can, in the light of that, in God's wonderful kindness. Over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, if I can, and picking up, if I may, 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, and chapter 4, picking up at verse 16. 2 Corinthians, and chapter 4. And what am I doing? Oh, I could look, I could keep looking at, I'm looking at 1 Corinthians, and it ain't going to say what you're looking at. So therefore, 2 Corinthians, where are you? And 2 Corinthians, find it. And in chapter 4, here we are. Chapter 4, over to verse 16. Now, remember what we just said about pressure, squeezing, affliction. You're going to have it. You can't be without it. You're going to have it in, just in your own body. You have to go through everything, let alone be in the world. And their own body will deny that you have eternal life. Your own body says, you never can have life. No, you do have it. I don't have it in my body. So I talk to my body, and I tell my body, you can't give me eternal life. I don't have eternal life, Mr. Body. I don't have eternal life. My eternal life is in the person of Jesus Christ in my heart. That's why I have eternal life. I don't have eternal life. So my body says, you don't have eternal life. Now my body, you can't help me. My body can never, my old nature can never encourage me. No, I have it in Christ. Contrary to what you think now. So therefore, chapter 4, in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's what we're doing. That's how we walk. We walk by faith and not by sight, and we bumble along, taking our medicines and doing everything. Verse 17, for our affliction, there's your word, tribulation, affliction. But there's a little word in front of it, your light affliction. What do you mean, light affliction? Your light affliction. Your light affliction. Your light tribulation. Which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And God, what are we doing? We're looking to you. And God says, listen, what you're going through is but a moment. Now, how long do you expect to live? No one knows. Okay? I want you to take, let's give yourself a little, 100 years. There was a lady, 100 years. Okay. What's 100 years? You were made forever. True? Understand? You were designed. You can never die in that sense. You are going to live one way or the other. You exist forever. That's sobering. Now, how long is 100 years in the light of eternity where you never die in that sense? Now, what is that like? Well, I got to have the best. This is my heaven. Why don't you rethink it? You think, well, I'm going to die. No, you're not. You're going to have to keep going, either in or out of God's favor forever. That's sobering. I think that's sobering myself. I do. So therefore, you're gonna buy up your opportunity, you betcha, because I only got here and I got a long way to go. Now, so therefore, God said, it's your light affliction. Light affliction. You're letting the seed go down to find root. So you know it's light. God said, you can't get out of the affliction out of the tribulation, out of being in this body, you can't do it. But you can what? Let the seed bring forth roots. It just needs to find a believing heart to let the roots go down into the heart. And the roots will produce what? They produce the life and the light of God's wonderful person in your heart. They bring into your heart the wonderful truth. The wonderful truth, what? That don't you understand? It's only for a moment. Do it again. Do it again if I can. Over, if I can. Over to Romans. Back over to Romans chapter 8. And you know. Romans in chapter 8. And you'll note, chapter 8, if I can, verse 17. 8:17. If children, then heirs. And if we're heirs of God, then we're joint heirs with Christ. And if we're joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And God in you is going to go through whatever your problems you got, your pain, your headache, your heartache, you got to live through it. But so does he. And if he doesn't want it, it won't be there. You want God's will for your life to be unworked? That's what you want. And if God wants the other, you have to go through it. Because God said, you're in this body. He isn't changing the body. He's using the body. Now, and he doesn't want the body. Flesh and blood can what? Cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He doesn't want the body. So therefore, Romans 8 and in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yeah, it's not even comparable. It isn't even the question. So what are you doing? You're getting sidetracked. That's with a rock. The rock doesn't let the roots get in the ground. And the roots have to get in the ground because it produces what? Fruits. It makes it all work. It won't make sense to the world. If you were blind, if you're in the world, you know, if you're in the world of blindness and you're given sight and you're trying to explain that you now see colors and everything, do you know how hard that is? To explain that to a blind person when they've never seen colors. What does that mean, colors? Blue, green, yellow. I never saw colors. Yeah. So when God gives you light and you're in a world of darkness and people love darkness rather than light, don't think they're going to understand. But neither are they going to knock you off your seat. You're going to trust them. Trust God. Tribulation's there. All the problems are there. There's no question. And therefore, over I can, over to the book of James. And the book of James. And you'll note, James, well, first, anyway, verse 3. James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, bearing up under the load, think of Romans chapter 5. And let patience, bearing up under the load, have her perfect work, full, complete. Why? That you may be perfect, complete, entire, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. Wow. Yeah. So what are we going to do? Because knowing 3 and 4, back up to verse 2. Brethren, I count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, trial, test, trouble. I count it all joy. That's what I do. Why? Because I know in verse 2, the trying of a faith worketh patience. Because I know verse 4, it's going to produce a wholeness, a completeness, a satisfaction, a most wonderful thing. God, so what am I going to do for the joy? Now, the rock, he has joy for a moment, but then it's short-lived, and it's gone. You don't want that kind of joy. You want the seeds down inside, locked in. And when you're locked in, what we just did, we just read it. God says, listen, do you understand? Tribulation's there, but I'm there, said God. And you're an overcomer, and you've overcome tribulation, and you're already there, and you're there. Don't worry about the tribulation. Just go through it. But trust me. And as you trust me, I'll allow whatever. I may not allow it. Whatever I want, I'll do. I tried to say that the other day. Whatever I want, God, that's what I just want what you want. If you want me to go home tonight, that's fine. And do whatever. I'm going to do the normal things. God, you help me. I'll work your goodwill and make the roots go down. All the things that could be, all the things that could happen, all they're there. They surely are. But God, you said it, 1 Corinthians 10. You won't have to go through. I'll never let you go through what you can't handle. I won't let it happen. I'm going to be faithful. I won't let you go more than you can handle. And if I let it happen, you better roll up your sleeves and go with it. Because if I let it happen, you can handle it. How so? You're going to trust me. You're going to trust me. That's why you're going to do it. And that's why I let it happen, to learn to trust me. If you had everything nice all the time, it would never happen. You get the idea. Count it all joy. Now, put that together. All the verses, all the truths, they're all the truths together in a big package in here. And you're letting the truths, boom, 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 they all come together into working whatever you need. So Philippians chapter 2, work out, well, do it in closing. Philippians, you know it anyway. Colossians. Philippians, and in chapter 2, if I can. And in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not so much in my absence, presence only, but now much more in my absence. Remember, Paul's in jail. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what you're going to do. That's what we just said to do. Roll up your sleeves and go to it. Because, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what he's going to do. Then I trust him. You have to do it. They want the seed to grow, I do. So you pull up the weeds, you confess your sin, get all the weeds, get them out of the way. They get in the way, confess your sin, keep a clean slate, and get on the corridor. I got to quit. You got the idea?